Chapter 15. A God Buys Us Cheeseburgers. The next afternoon, June 14th, 7 days before the solstice, our train rolled into Denver. We hadn't eaten since the night before in the dining car somewhere in Kansas. We hadn't taken a shower since Half Blood Hill, and I was sure that was obvious. "Let's try to contact Chiron," Annabeth said. "I want to tell him about your talk with the river spirit." "We can't use phones, right?" "I'm not talking about phones." We wandered through downtown for about half an hour, though I wasn't sure what Annabeth was looking for. The air was dry and hot, which felt weird after the humidity of St. Louis. Everywhere we turned, the Rocky Mountains seemed to be staring at me like a tidal wave about to crash into the city. Finally, we found an empty do-it-yourself car wash. We veered toward the stall farthest from the street, keeping our eyes open for patrol cars. We were three adolescents hanging out at a car wash without a car. Any cop worth his donuts would figure we were up to no good. "What exactly are we doing?" I asked as Grover took out the spray gun. "Oh, it's 75 cents, he grumbled. "I've only got 2 quarters left. Annabeth?" "Don't look at me," she said. "The dining car wiped me out." I fished out my last bit of change and passed Grover a quarter, which left me 2 nickels and 1 drachma from Medusa's place. "Excellent," Grover said. "We could do it with a spray bottle, of course, but the connection isn't as good, and my arm gets tired of pumping." "What are you talking about?" He fed in the quarters and set the knob to fine mist. "IMing." "Instant messaging?" "Iris messaging," Annabeth corrected. "The rainbow goddess Iris carries messages for the gods. If you know how to ask, and she's not too busy, she'll do the same for half-bloods." "You summon the goddess with a spray gun?" Grover pointed the nozzle in the air, and water hissed out in a thick white mist. "Unless you know an easier way to make a rainbow." Sure enough, late afternoon light filtered through the vapor and broke into colors. Annabeth held her palm out to me. "Drachma, please." I handed it over. She raised the coin over her head. "Oh, goddess, accept our offering." She threw the drachma into the rainbow. It disappeared into a golden shimmer. "Half Blood Hill," Annabeth requested. For a moment, nothing happened. Then I was looking through the mist at strawberry fields and the Long Island Sound in the distance. We seemed to be on the porch of the big house. Standing with his back to us at the railing was a sandy-haired guy in shorts and an orange tank top. He was holding a bronze sword and seemed to be staring intently at something down in the meadow. "Luke!" I called. He turned, eyes wide. I could swear he was standing 3 feet in front of me through a screen of mist, except I could only see the part of him that appeared in the rainbow.
"Percy!" His scarred face broke into a grin. "Is that Annabeth, too? Thank the gods. Are you guys okay?"
We're fine, Annabeth stammered. She was madly straightening her dirty T-shirt, trying to comb the loose hair out of her face.
We thought, he's down at the cabins. Luke's smile faded. "We're having some issues with the campers. Listen, is everything cool with you? Is Grover all right?"
"I'm right here," Grover called. He held the nozzle out to one side and stepped into Luke's line of vision. "What kind of issues?" Just then, a big Lincoln Continental pulled into the car wash with its stereo turned to maximum hip-hop. As the car slid into the next stall, the bass from the subwoofers vibrated so much it shook the pavement.
"Chiron had to..." "What's that noise?" Luke yelled.
"I'll take care of it," Annabeth yelled back, looking very relieved to have an excuse to get out of sight. "Grover, come on." "What?" Grover said, "but..."
"Give Percy the nozzle and come on," she ordered.
Grover muttered something about girls being harder to understand than the Oracle at Delphi. Then he handed me the spray gun and followed Annabeth. I readjusted the hose so I can keep the rainbow going and still see Luke.
"Chiron had to break up a fight. Luke shouted to me over the music. Things are pretty tense here, Percy. Word leaked out about the Zeus-Poseidon standoff. We're still not sure how. Probably the same scumbag who summoned the Hellhound. Now the campers are starting to take sides. It's shaping up like the Trojan War all over again. Aphrodite, Ares, and Apollo are backing Poseidon, more or less. Athena's backing Zeus. I shudder to think that Clarice's cabin would ever be on my dad's side for anything. In the next stall, I heard Annabeth and some guy arguing with each other, then the music's volume decreased drastically.
So, what's your status? Luke asked me. Chiron will be sorry he missed you.
I told him pretty much everything, including my dreams. It felt so good to see him, to feel like I was back at camp even for a few minutes, that I didn't realize how long I had talked until the beeper went off on the spray machine, and I realized I only had one more minute before the water shut off.
I wish I could be there, Luke told me. We can't help much from here, I'm afraid, but listen, it had to be Hades who took the Master Bolt. He was there at Olympus Winter Solstice. I was chaperoning a field trip, and we saw him.
But Chiron said the gods can't take each other's magic items directly.
That's true, Luke said, looking troubled. Still, Hades has the Helm of Darkness. How could anybody else sneak into the throne room and steal the Master Bolt? You'd have to be invisible.
We were both silent, until Luke seemed to realize what he'd said.
Oh, hey, he protested. I didn't mean Annabeth. She and I have known each other forever. She would never... I mean, she's like a little sister to me.
I wondered if Annabeth would like that description. In the stall next to us, the music stopped completely. A man screamed in terror, car doors slammed, and the Lincoln peeled out of the car wash.
You'd better go see what that was, Luke said. Listen, are you wearing the flying shoes? I'll feel better if I know they've done you some good.
Oh, yeah. I tried not to sound like a guilty liar. Yeah, they've come in handy.
Really? He grinned. They fit in everything?
The water shut off. The mist started to evaporate.
Well, take care of yourself out there in Denver,
Luke called, his voice getting fainter.
And tell Grover it'll be better this time. Nobody will get turned into a pine tree if he just...
But the mist was gone, and Luke's image faded to nothing. I was alone in a wet, empty car wash stall. Annabeth and Grover came around the corner laughing, but stopped when they saw my face. Annabeth's smile faded.
What happened, Percy? What did Luke say?
Not much. I lied, my stomach feeling as empty as a big three cabin.
Come on, let's find some dinner.